are one, we are love, and we're all woven together.
Hi friends, welcome back to the Woven in Truth podcast. I'm Mallory, your host today. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. I just literally can't wait. So I'm going to tell you right now, our special guest is back in the house. My friend, Elizabeth Thompson. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I've been so excited about this. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, you were like,
you never know, after one time they might be like, you know.
Oh no, I would put you on retainer if I could. This is awesome. You are Woven's beloved speaker, writer, friend, and we are big fans over here. And we cannot wait to hear what God's been putting on your heart most recently. But first, I have to ask you about this puppy I keep seeing on your Instagram. Can you please tell me about your puppy?
Oh, the puppy. So, okay, about maybe a year and a half ago, our dog of 14 years, Cole, was laid to rest.
Oh,
and
sad.
He is happily romping around doggy heaven,
yes.
We believe so. And so, you know, we took about a year to kind of just reset.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids and Kevin, they just like majorly had the itch for a new, you know, furry friend, and did all this research because my big thing was this dog cannot shed. Cole, God rest his soul, I loved him so much, but he shed like a small gorilla came off of him in fur every day. I was like, I can't do it again.
No, yeah.
So we ended up with Toby the Vizsla. Some people say Vizsla. It's
Ooh,
a Hungarian.
They're so beautiful.
Yeah, and he's a doll. They call them Velcro dogs because they like always want to be touching a human and like Aww. Snuggling and super high energy. But I have four high energy children who so far have been very committed to taking him out and helping. So it's been good. Really fun, actually.
Oh, man. I'm like kind of vicariously living through you because I love puppies. He's so cute. Oh, that's so fun. Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
well, come play with him anytime.
I would love to. I wish we lived a little bit closer.
A little closer.
It's funny because when you're saying they like were researching all that stuff, I remember making PowerPoint presentations for my parents to show them why we should get a puppy.
Did they get you one?
Yeah, it worked eventually.
Okay, I mean, that's a lot of work.
Eventually, you know, I'm just telling people out there, you know, sometimes you just got to put in a little effort, make it look nice, you know. People care about aesthetics.
If I did a PowerPoint, I would be like, okay. You are responsible enough for a dog.
Deal. That's awesome. Well, everybody go look at her pictures of her puppy. Sometimes she puts them on the stories and stuff. So anyways, can you share a little bit about your new book? It's brilliant. I'm so excited about it. It's called When God Says No. Can you tell us a little bit about it and like maybe why this is kind of your passion project right now?
Yeah, it's funny. When I first started talking to my publisher about writing this book, it was way, way, way pre-coronavirus and, you know,
wow.
worldwide shutdown and all of that. And then I ended up writing this book all during the lockdown and quarantine and all of this stuff. It's just God's timing is always so interesting, mm-hmm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When this is, it just felt like God has been telling the whole world no to a lot of things. No, you know, this is not going to happen right away. No, you're not going to get out of your house yet. No, this isn't ending anytime soon.
Right.
No, you don't get to have that special, you know, something you were looking forward to. There's just been a lot of no. So the timing has been interesting, but, the subtitle is Facing Disappointment and Denial Without Losing Heart, Losing Hope, or Losing Your Head. And really, this book is all about finding hope in heartache. And that is always my passion in my writing, is helping people find hope and find God in the middle of the messiest things and paths maybe that they wouldn't have chosen for themselves, outcomes mm-hmm. that they didn't want and they prayed against, but here they are. And how do we grapple with that? Like, how do we stay close to God when he has said no to us? How do we not get angry with God How do we not become bitter, jaded people? How do we protect our friendships? How do you navigate a no when all your friends seem to have everything they want and everything they've been praying for, and you're kind of left behind? How do you communicate need and be vulnerable when you really aren't comfortable being vulnerable? So really, this book seeks to minister to, it's not why God says no, it's when God says no. Yeah. Like, how do you walk through that when it happens? Mm-hmm. With your hope and your heart and your relationships, and even your sense of humor intact. Mm-hmm. How do you make it through?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think it stuck out to me so much because disappointment for me is one of the harder things to navigate. Like, I've always had a hard time, even if I can like logically process disappointment, I think it still affects me big time. That's why I think can be compassionate when my toddler is so disappointed, because like I get that feeling when like you really wanted something or you really hoped it would work out a certain way and then it doesn't. And I just have a hard time landing. And so I think this is such a great guide, and I'm just really excited about it. I think it's so important, and how cool the timing, God's timing this year. I think when we're all so aware, I think we've heard no more in the last year than we ever have before. And we're not used to it. Like, we can't do the things we want to do. And that's really hard. And then obviously there's the deeper, big soul wrenching things when we get those no's too. So I'm so excited that we have this kind of, to help us navigate that. So thank you so much for writing it. So you write about the importance of allowing ourselves to grieve when God has said no. So I just was curious, like, what does that process look like?
Yeah. You know, I think for a long time in my sort of Christian walk, I felt like surrender means that I have to be like tickled pink over whatever path God has chosen for me. And even if it was something I really, really didn't want, like, I'm not allowed to feel sad about it because that means I'm fighting God and I'm like resisting his will for my life.
Right, right.
And yet that is not what we see in scripture. We see people in the Bible suffering and hurting and hearing no from God, and they're mourning, they're hurting, they're tearing their robes. You know, you see David in the Psalms just going at it in prayer. God, why? How long? This is unfair. This is help. Why do you stand far off? Like, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. And we see them grieving. I mean, we even see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane getting a huge no from God. No, I'm not going to spare you this suffering on the cross. I need you to do this. And it's not like Jesus is starting a conga line on the way to the cross. Like, mm-hmm. it is a sad, hard thing. Mm-hmm. He's resolute. He is determined and he is submissive. But I do think we are allowed to hurt and we are allowed to be sad and to take the time we need to grieve. I think, you know, there are different types of no. One of the things I talk about in the book is there are, and you touched on this, like there are those big life altering no's, and some people have faced some of those over the past year, everything from job loss to relocation to death or the loss of just, you know, loss of health long-term. Mm-hmm. Those are those awful life altering before and after everything is different kind of no's. Mm-hmm. And I think we tend to give ourselves permission to grieve those, mm-hmm. Because they're bigger and the more public. Mm-hmm. But what about I call them smaller no's, not to diminish their importance, but just to acknowledge that there's, you know, there's kind of different types of suffering. Right. But man, when you had this hope, this dream, this career that you were wanting to have, and it just didn't turn out, mm-hmm. or you knocked on a certain door, you wanted to move to a certain city, be close to your family, and it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And we're allowed to grieve those things. Mm-hmm. I think when we don't, as in any relationship, mm-hmm. when there's unworked through sadness, it can quickly twist into bitterness, mm-hmm. bitterness towards God, resentment, mm-hmm. why did you do this? I don't understand. Mistrust, you know, so that grief process protects our relationship with God and it allows him to comfort us. He's very good at comfort if we will allow him mm-hmm. to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so cool. I love that you talked about comparative suffering because I think that is huge. And I think it can be very confusing. It reminds me even of our conversation about all the feels, because as I'm navigating something that feels like a smaller no, maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something. One of my friends lately been talking to me about like career disappointment, right? But then we can be tempted to go, well, you know, the idea that I have career mobility is a privilege and I shouldn't be ungrateful that I have this or something like that. But what's hard though, is I think that can cause spiritual roadblocks because it's like, I shouldn't feel this and yet I do. Right. And so it's so much better to grieve that with God. Are there any like boundaries or dangers we should be aware of in that though? Cause I think part of me just growing up the way I have, I'm so quick to go, yeah, but don't get too entitled. Right. Like, do you have any thoughts on that? Or is that even like part of my problem that I'm so quick to like slap some scriptures at myself, right? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it's a little bit of both, yeah. If that makes sense. Like yeah. It's, you're allowed to be sad, but perspective isn't a bad thing.
Okay.
You know,
it
is helpful sometimes mm-hmm. to be like, okay, let me remember. You know, yeah, I didn't get this, you know, we keep going back to the career thing.
Yeah.
I didn't get this promotion that I wanted, but mm-hmm. I do have a job and I am grateful for that. I mean, that helps keep it in perspective and helps keep, I feel like with our kids, one of my husband's sort of mantras is like, okay, perspective guys, like there's big deal things and there's little deal things. Mm-hmm. And this is a little deal and let's respond with an appropriate level of emotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that can help to sort of measure out like how dramatically we respond. But I will say like, no matter how many times I tell myself I should or shouldn't feel a certain way, my right. emotions tend to do what they want anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we have to deal with it and we have to acknowledge, but this sadness is there mm-hmm. and I need to grieve it. Not in a way of like, God, you owed me.
Right.
I am, you know, I deserved this and this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I think what we see in scripture is Anne Voskamp calls it lament, not complaint. Complaint mm. points a finger at God and basically says, you know, you owed me this and I'm really mad and disappointed. This isn't fair. Whereas lament is I am sad and I don't understand. I don't know where you are in this, mm-hmm. but I do trust your heart. Mm-hmm. And I trust that you're going to see me through this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's like a big complex answer to maybe what was a simpler
but I loved it. That was amazing. It reminds me, I mean, of this great excerpt I highlighted from your book. I thought it was awesome. It says, what relief we feel when we realize that our circumstances don't reflect God's approval. Then we can simply hurt without the miseries of guilt, shame, blame, mistrust, and distance. We can take our pain to God, confident that he hurts with us. And I think this actually goes along a little bit about what we're talking about. When we don't get the answer we want from God, it's so tempting to like wonder why and try to even speculate like why he isn't saying yes. Can you expand on maybe the dangers of trying to read God's mind as we're processing no's in life?
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad we're talking about this because I do think it is dangerous to try to read God's mind. And I've done it myself to myself many times, but I know in the past I've even done it with other people and we risk really hurting people and we mean the best, mm-hmm. you know, when we're like, mm-hmm. well, I think maybe God is doing this because mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. God is thinking this. And it's like, whoa, anytime we're like trying to assume we know the mind of God and mm-hmm. the future and all the things he knows that we don't know, we're on really dangerous ground that sometimes can unintentionally hurt our own faith and hurt other people's faith. Because a lot of times, I know for me, when I'm trying to interpret God's actions in my life, somehow I twist it around so I've done something wrong. And he's mad at me. He's disappointed in me. There's a lesson I haven't learned yet that if I would have learned it, if I had already learned it, I would have the blessing, but I haven't. So it's kind of like being in trouble, but it's discipline. And that can create so much frustration, discouragement, resentment towards God. Think about, and think about some of those hard no's, like women walking through infertility. Goodness, if you start speculating, oh, this is because I don't have enough faith yet. This is because I'm not surrendered enough yet. You can so quickly get to this dark, dark place where you're convinced God hates you. It's your fault. And just the shame and self-loathing can really compound. So yeah, it's, we got to really guard against that. Unless God himself has shown up in your life and said, I am doing this because we just, we have to just trust that he loves us and he is acting out of love and in our best interest. And he's going to see us through. And like you said, he's going to hurt with us. He is sad when we are sad.
Wow. That's so powerful. It reminds me of this quote. I only remember the in half, but it basically is saying when we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart. Cause I think it's, I always want to understand and kind of try to find meaning in the mess or whatever, you know, like there's gotta be a reason. There's gotta be something, you know, I'm grappling for like, some sort of, I don't know, meaning there. And I think sometimes, I think it's normal, but I do think it can be dangerous to start assuming things about God or his intentions or different things like that, that, you know, especially if it's not in line with the character we see in the scriptures and stuff like that. And I do read a lot of Christian books and different Christian content. And one of the things I really love and respect about your books in particular is how extremely scripture filled they are and biblical. I also love how you make so many of the characters kind of come to life again in ways that feel so relatable. These are Bible characters, I mean, and your book is full of examples of Bible characters who face denial and disappointment. Do you have a favorite one that stuck out to you or one that you relate to most that you wanted to share with us?
Oh, it's so hard to pick because I, whenever I dive into these character stories, I just like, I don't know, I like really put myself in their life. And of course I'm using, in this case, I am speculating and I am using my imagination a bit. Like what might they have been thinking? What might they have been feeling? If I were in their shoes, what would I be feeling? So I connect with each of them in different ways. One of the ones that surprised me that I bonded with and just came to a whole new appreciation of his story was Naaman. And he was, so the story of Naaman, he was the commander of the armies of Aram. And, you know, so he's not from Israel, and yet he has this foreign Israelite servant girl who says to him, realizing that he has leprosy, which meant some sort of serious skin ailment, it, not necessarily the leprosy we think of today, but it's unclear. But she realized that he has this awful disease and it's hurting his life. And she's like, oh, if he only you would go see the prophet who is in Israel. And Naaman takes the advice of this servant girl, foreign servant girl, and goes to, but he gets sent to the king of Israel, like, hey, can you heal me? And just time and again in his like quest for healing, he has to humble himself like hugely. I mean, he has to be so vulnerable. And I just came to such a respect for the humility that it's obvious it was hard for him to have. I mean, this guy is a big deal. He's a very big deal. So he had to humble himself, like just take himself down notch after notch after notch in order to get the healing that he wanted. But I think I relate so much to that. And I think a lot of us do that. When God says no, a lot of times in order to get maybe it's emotional healing or even maybe it is physical healing, there are ways that we need help. And it takes so much vulnerability. It takes being willing to open up and be like, I am not okay. I need help. And maybe that help is like, you need financial help to get you through a hard time. Maybe you need childcare. Maybe you need rides. Maybe you need just those practical life things, or maybe it's, you need emotional support and people to check on you. Like, but just that vulnerability we all have to have. And just learning to embrace that it's okay to be needy for a time. When it's mm-hmm. your turn to be needy, it's okay. Your mm-hmm. turn to give will come around again. Mm-hmm. But that was what I really learned from Naaman. I had a lot of fun with his story.
I loved reading that part. And I think it is so crazy the way you, I don't know if I read into it that much before when I had read that story, but I think, wow, this is so powerful because the vulnerability and humility pieces are so difficult, especially when you're already kind of like in that disappointed space and you can start getting kind of self-protective, like, you know, I can't lose anything else. But I do think those pieces are huge. And so often God will work so much in our hearts, but also work through other people when we're willing to kind of go to those places of vulnerability, of humility, of even that willingness to listen to other people and let them help you like he did, right? I just think that's so powerful. And I was just wondering too, like, do you have a personal example you wanted to share with the listeners of a time when God said no to you that you've had to kind of navigate?
Oh man, there have been many, many. I think sort of coming off in the heels of that conversation about vulnerability, I guess it was between my third child and our youngest Sawyer, we had a miscarriage, and it was right at a time when we were moving. And it was like God said no to 1,000 things all at once. And we were just utterly heartbroken over losing this baby and
so hard.
And grieving this loss while in transition, going to a new place, all new relationships. You know, it's like, you just like, my body was kind of a wreck. I had to have 2 surgeries, and I have never felt so weak or needy in my life, where I was like, I can't quite deal with myself right now. I can't do my life. Like, I am not okay in any way at all. And, in most of our lives, I would say, where we're in that place where we're like, I'm just kind of at the mercy of God right now. Like, I have no illusions about being able to muscle my way through this by myself. Like, if God doesn't see me through, I'm not going to make it. And that was one of those times for me. But what was really amazing, and I share some about this in the book, is how I started really begging God to let me see him working in my life, because he felt so far away. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I need to see you. And I need to see your fingerprints. And I started looking for them. And it's amazing what happens when you pray that prayer and then you start looking with eyes of faith, how much you see God's care and you see him go out of his way. And sometimes it's tiny things that no one but you and God know about, but where he's like, I am here and I see you and I care for you. And I am seeing you through this in the smallest, with little gifts. Mm-hmm. But I'm sustaining you day by day. And that was a time where it was such a time of grief, but also a time when surprisingly my walk with God really grew on the other side of it.
That is so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing. I loved that prayer. I think that's so inspiring. Like, God, let me see you working. Cause I do think in those seasons of just heartbreak, and even that, whether it's helplessness or hopelessness or a mixture, it can be so hard. And I loved to connect with him or to see him or to even understand, like, God, you know, help me make sense of this. But I love that you said, pray, look, I think you said pray to ask God and ask God to see him working and then watch with eyes of faith. I think that's so powerful. And my question too is like, so what is the other side of this? Like, what might God have in store for us on the other side of no? And maybe even like, what is that? Like, what's my goal? You know, like, I want to know, like, is it acceptance? Is it, I don't know, like, understanding? I don't think it's understanding, because I think there's a lot we'll never understand. But I just wanted to see your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, we could talk for a long time. We could really dive in. I have a whole, like, section in the book where I really try to unpack, like, what is surrender exactly? Mm. Like, how do you know if you're surrendered? And are you pressuring yourself to be kind of like we touched on in the beginning, like surrendered in a way that maybe you don't have to be? Like, you don't have to be jumping for joy on the grave of your dreams. Like, that's okay that you're still sad. It's okay that you kind of wish your life had gone a different way, but you also accept the life that you have, and you're living it to the full, and you're giving your heart, and you're not holding it back. To me, that's been what I've had to wrestle with the most, as God has said no to things. And I've really gotten to that place. Cause you know, there is a time when you're like, well, was it no for now? Was it no forever? Right. Was it just a wait? Right. I don't know. Was it maybe, and I can talk him into it. Like, there's that whole weird time. Which I wrote a different book about that one.
Right.
That's a whole other place. But you know, when you are in that place where you're like, okay, this is a no, and I need to accept it and move forward. Like, I think one of the things I love about scripture is we see so many people who God has said no to one dream, but he's given them another.
Wow.
Or he's even said no to, like they've literally buried, you know, their old life, like people they loved who were their life and their family have died. And yet God still had more hope and life and love in store for them on the other side of that. I'm sure they never stopped missing those people, that life. Ruth and Naomi, great example. One of my favorites, another favorite that I wrote about in this, book, just exploring their story and how these women, they both lost their husbands, they lost their home, they had to start completely over. And especially Naomi, who is an older woman, she must have just thought, well, this is it. Like, I'm done. Like, I am done with happiness. I've had all the joy I'm going to have in my life. My turn is over. Let me just go. Let me go. And yet he had this grandbaby in store for her. She became her old self again. She went back to being Naomi, sweet, from being Mara, bitter. She got to just, you know, go back to that hopeful person she used to be and live some fresh joy. Not that the old wounds weren't there. Not that grief wasn't there, but she still had joy. And I think for so many of us, when God tells us no, it can give us so much hope and comfort to know that if he said no to one thing, he does have more in store for you. If you're still here, then God's not done with you. He's got something. Nobody can tell you what that is. I don't know what it is. But if we will take steps of faith, trusting him, saying, okay, God, this isn't the life I picked, but I'm going to live it. I'm going to give my heart today to where I am today. I'm going to try. I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to be open-hearted. And sometimes it's, you know, reaching across the table to pick up your phone and send a text. That might be the bravest thing you've done in a long time, you know, or sending an email that you're terrified to send and starting a new conversation about a new job or a new relationship, whatever it may be, taking those steps forward. It gives God room to work and it gives him room to say, okay, let's get started. I do have more in store for you. Your story isn't over.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that you said find some fresh joy. That sounds amazing. Can I get a big glass of that? Oh, that was so helpful. Thank you. And I love that you talked about some of those steps forward we can take into maybe a different life than the one we had imagined, right? When we were still wondering if it was a no, it's like, man, how can we move forward and find some fresh joy? Because like you said, God's not done. And wow, that's so cool. So I'm sure everybody listening wants to get this book. Where can they get your book?
It's available really any of your favorite places to buy books. you can find it there. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, in the store or online, christianbook.com, all those places. My publisher even offer really good discounts for bulk orders.
Oh, cool.
So for churches that are doing a bulk study, mm-hmm. Barber Publishing offers some really great bulk discounts.
That's so wonderful. Yeah,
easy to find.
Awesome. Well, I think it's phenomenal and I think you are phenomenal and I'm so excited about this. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate so much your insight, your thoughtfulness, your honesty. It's just such a joy talking about deep things of life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm sure the people listening, we're with you. I don't know what no you're navigating or if you are, but I'm sure it's hard and heavy. And I know God sees it and he cares. And we're kind of, you know, we're all in our own little corners, but in some ways we're all together in this as well. So thank you so much, everybody who listened, and we will catch you next time on the podcast.